Chapter 25. Casual smokers, teenagers, non-smokers. Heavy smokers tend to envy casual smokers. We've all met these characters. Oh, I can go all week without a cigarette. It really doesn't bother me. We think, I wish I were like that. I know this is hard to believe, but no smoker enjoys being a smoker. Never forget, no smoker ever decided to become a smoker, casual or otherwise. Therefore, all smokers feel stupid. Therefore, all smokers have to lie to themselves and other people in a vain attempt to justify their stupidity. I used to be a golf fanatic. I would brag about how often I played, and I wanted to play more. Why do smokers brag about how little they smoke? If that's the true criterion, then surely the true accolade is not to smoke at all. If I said to you, you know, I can go all week without carrots, and it doesn't bother me in the slightest, you would think I was some sort of nutcase. If I enjoy carrots, why would I want to go all week without them? If I don't enjoy them, why would I make such a statement? So, when a smoker makes a statement like, I can go all week without a cigarette, it really doesn't bother me, he's trying to convince both himself and you that he has no problem. But there would be no need to make the statement if he had no problem. What he's really saying is, I managed to survive a whole week without smoking. Like every smoker, he was probably hoping that after this, he could survive the rest of his life. But he could only survive a week. And can you imagine how precious that cigarette must have been, having felt deprived for a whole week? This is why casual smokers are effectively more hooked than heavy smokers. Not only is the illusion of pleasure greater, but they have less incentive to quit because they spend less money and are less vulnerable to the health risks. Remember, the only pleasure smokers get is the relief from withdrawal pangs. And as I've already explained, even that pleasure is an illusion. Imagine the little nicotine monster inside your body as a permanent itch, so imperceptible that most of the time you aren't even aware of it. Now, if you have a permanent itch, the natural tendency is to scratch it. As our bodies become more and more immune to nicotine, the natural tendency is to chain smoke. There are three main factors that prevent smokers from chain smoking. One, money. Most can't afford to. Two, health. In order to relieve our withdrawal pangs, we have to take a poison. Capacity to cope with that poison varies with each individual and at different times and situations in his or her life. This acts as an automatic restraint. And three, discipline. This is imposed by society, the smoker's place of employment, friends and relatives, or the smoker himself as a result of the natural tug of war that goes on in every smoker's mind. I used to think of my chain smoking as a weakness. I couldn't understand why my friends could limit their intake to 10 or 20 a day. I knew I was a very strong-willed person. It never occurred to me that most smokers are incapable of chain smoking. You need very strong lungs in order to do it. Some of these five-a-day smokers, whom heavy smokers tend to envy, smoke five-a-day because physically their constitution can't smoke more, or because they can't afford to smoke more, or because their job or society or their own hatred of being hooked won't allow them to smoke more. Now is a good time to provide a few definitions. The non-smoker. Someone who has never fallen for the trap, but should not be complacent. He is a non-smoker only by the grace of God. All smokers were convinced that they would never become hooked, and some non-smokers keep trying an occasional cigarette. The casual smoker. There are two basic classifications of casual smokers. One, the smoker who has fallen for the trap but doesn't realize it. Don't envy such smokers. They are merely sampling the nectar at the mouth of the pitcher plant, and in all probability will soon be heavy smokers. Remember, just as all alcoholics start off as casual drinkers, so all smokers started off as casual smokers. Two, the smoker who was previously a heavy smoker and thinks he can't stop. These smokers are the most pathetic of all. They fall into various categories, each of which needs separate comment. The five-a-day smoker. If he enjoys a cigarette, why does he smoke only five a day? If he can take it or leave it, why does he bother to smoke at all? Remember, the habit is really the banging of your head against the brick wall to make it relaxing when you stop. The five-a-day smoker is relieving his withdrawal pangs for less than 1 hour each day. The rest of the day, although he doesn't realize it, he's banging his head against the wall and does so for most of his life. He's smoking only five a day because either he can't afford to smoke more or he's worried about the health risk. It's easy to convince the heavy smoker that he doesn't enjoy it, but try convincing a casual smoker. Anybody who has gone through an attempt to cut down will know it is the worst torture of all and almost guaranteed to keep you hooked for the rest of your life. The morning or evening only smoker. He punishes himself by suffering withdrawal pangs for half the day in order to relieve them the other half. Again, ask him why, if he enjoys a cigarette, he doesn't smoke the whole day. Or if he doesn't enjoy a cigarette, why he bothers at all. The 6 months on, 6 months off smoker. Or, I can stop whenever I want to. I've done it thousands of times. If he enjoys smoking, why does he stop for 6 months? If he doesn't enjoy it, why does he start again? The truth is, he's still hooked. Although he gets rid of the physical addiction, he's left with the main problem, the brainwashing. He hopes each time that he will stop for good, and soon falls for the trap again. Many smokers envy these stoppers and starters. They think, how lucky to be able to control it like that, to smoke when you want to and stop when you want to. What they always overlook is that these stoppers and starters aren't controlling it. When they're smokers, they wish they weren't. They go through the hassle of stopping, then begin to feel deprived and fall for the trap again, then wish they hadn't. They get the worst of all worlds. When they're smokers, they wish they weren't. When they're non-smokers, they wish they could smoke. If you think about it, this is true all our smoking lives. When we're allowed to smoke, we either take it for granted or wish we didn't. It's only when we can't have cigarettes that they appear so precious. This is the awful dilemma of smokers. They can never win because they're moping about a myth, an illusion. There is one way they can win, and that is to stop smoking and stop moping. The I only smoke on special occasions smoker. Yes, we all do to start with. But isn't it amazing how the number of occasions rapidly increase, and before we know it, we're smoking on all occasions? The I have stopped, but I have an occasional cigarette smoker. In a way, such smokers are the saddest cases. Either they go through their lives believing they are being deprived, or more often, the occasional cigar becomes two. They remain on the slippery slope, and it goes only one way. Downwards. Sooner or later, they're back to being heavy smokers. They've fallen again for the very trap that they fell into in the first place. There are two other categories of casual smoker. The first is the type who smokes just the occasional cigarette or cigar at social occasions. These people are really non-smokers. They don't enjoy smoking. It's just that they feel they're missing out. They want to be part of the action. We all start off like this. Next time the cigars go round, watch how, after a while, the smokers stop lighting those cigars. Even heavy cigarette smokers can't wait to finish them. They would much rather be smoking their own brand. The more expensive and the larger the cigar, the more frustrating it is. The damn thing seems to last all night. The second category is very rare indeed. In fact, of all the thousands who have sought my assistance, I can think of only about a dozen examples. The type can best be described by outlining a recent case. A woman phoned me seeking a private session. She was a lawyer, had been smoking for about 12 years, and had never smoked more or less than two cigarettes a day in her smoking life. She was, incidentally, a very strong-willed person. I explained that the success rate in group sessions was just as high as in individual sessions, and in any event, I was able to give individual therapy only if the person was so famous that it would disrupt the group. She began to cry, and I was not able to resist the tears. The session was expensive. Indeed, most smokers would wonder why she wanted to stop in the first place. They would gladly pay what I charged that woman to be able to smoke only 2 cigarettes a day. They make the mistake of assuming that casual smokers are happier and more in control. In control they may be, but happy they're not. In this case, both the woman's parents had died from lung cancer before she became hooked. Like me, she had a great fear of smoking before she smoked the first cigarette. Like me, she eventually fell victim to the massive pressures and tried that first cigarette. Like me, she can remember the foul taste. Unlike me, who capitulated and became a chain smoker very quickly, she resisted the slide. All you ever enjoy in a cigarette is the ending of the craving for it, whether it's the most imperceptible physical craving for nicotine or the mental torture caused by not being allowed to scratch the itch. Cigarettes themselves are filth and poison. This is why you only suffer the illusion of enjoying them after a period of abstinence. Just like a hunger or thirst, the longer you suffer from it, the greater the pleasure when you finally relieve it. Smokers make the mistake of believing smoking is just a habit. They think, if I can only keep it down to a certain level or smoke only on special occasions, my brain and body will accept it. I can then keep my smoking at that level or cut down further should I wish to. Get it clear in your mind. The habit doesn't exist. Smoking is drug addiction. The natural tendency is to relieve withdrawal pangs, not to endure them. Even to hold it at your current level, you would have to exercise willpower and discipline for the rest of your life. Because as your body becomes immune to the drug, it wants more and more, not less and less. As the drug begins to destroy you physically and mentally, as it gradually breaks down your nervous system, your courage and your confidence, so you are increasingly unable to resist reducing the interval between each cigarette. That's why in the early days we can take it or leave it. If we get a cold, we just stop. It also explains why someone like me, who never even suffered the illusion of enjoying them, had to go on chain smoking even though every cigarette had become physical torture. Don't envy that woman. When you smoke only one cigarette every 12 hours, it appears to be the most precious thing on earth. For 12 years, that poor woman had been at the center of a tug of war. She'd been unable to stop smoking, yet was frightened to increase the intake in case she got lung cancer like her parents. But for 23 hours and 10 minutes of every one of those days, she had to fight the temptation. It took tremendous willpower to do what she did. And as I've said, such cases are rare. But it reduced her to tears in the end. Just look at it logically. Either there is a genuine crutch or pleasure in smoking, or there isn't. If there is, who wants to wait an hour, or a day, or a week? Why should you be denied the crutch or pleasure in the meantime? If there is no genuine crutch or pleasure, why bother to smoke at all? I remember another case of a five-a-day man. He started the telephone conversation in a croaky voice. "Mr. Carr, I just want to stop smoking before I die." This is how that man described his life. "I'm 61 years old. I have cancer of the throat caused by smoking. Now I can only physically cope with 5 roll-ups a day. I used to sleep soundly through the night. Now I wake up every hour of the night and all I can think about is cigarettes. Even when I'm sleeping, I dream about smoking. I can't smoke my first cigarette until 10 o'clock. I get up at 5 o'clock and make endless cups of tea. My wife gets up at about 8 o'clock, and because I'm so bad-tempered, she'll not have me in the house. I go down to the greenhouse and try to putter about, but my mind is obsessed with smoking. At 9 o'clock, I begin to roll my first cigarette, and I do so until it's perfect. It's not that I need it to be perfect, but it gives me something to do. I then wait for 10 o'clock. When it arrives, my hands are shaking uncontrollably. I don't light the cigarette then. If I do, I have to wait 3 hours for the next one. Eventually, I light the cigarette, take one puff, and extinguish it immediately. By continuing this process, I can make the cigarette last 1 hour. I smoke it down to about 1/4 inch, and then wait for the next one." In addition to his other troubles, The poor man had burns all over his lips caused by smoking the cigarette too low. You probably have visions of a pathetic imbecile. Not so. This man was over 6 feet tall and an ex-sergeant in the Marines. He was a former athlete and didn't want to become a smoker. However, during World War II, society believed that cigarettes gave courage, and servicemen were issued free rations of them. This man was virtually ordered to become a smoker. He has spent the rest of his life paying through the nose, subsidizing other people's taxes, and it has ruined him physically and mentally. If he were an animal, our society would have put him out of his misery, yet we still allow mentally and physically healthy young teenagers to become hooked. You may think the above case is exaggerated. It is extreme, but not unique. There are literally thousands of similar stories. That man poured his heart out to me, but you can be sure that many of his friends and acquaintances envied him for being a five-a-day man. If you think this couldn't happen to you, stop kidding yourself. It is already happening. In any event, smokers are notorious liars, even to themselves. They have to be. Most casual smokers smoke far more cigarettes and on far more occasions than they will admit to. I've had many conversations with so-called five-a-day smokers, during which they've smoked more than five cigarettes in my presence. Observe casual smokers at social events such as weddings and parties. They'll be chain-smoking like the best of them. You don't need to envy casual smokers. You don't need to smoke. Life is infinitely sweeter without cigarettes. Teenagers are generally more difficult to cure, not because they find it difficult to stop, but because either they don't believe they are hooked, or they're at the primary stage of the disease and suffer from the delusion that they will automatically have stopped before the secondary stage. I would particularly like to warn parents of children who loathe smoking not to have a false sense of security. All children loathe the smell and taste of tobacco until they become hooked. You did too at one time. Also, don't be fooled by government scare campaigns. The trap is the same as it always was. Children know that cigarettes kill, but they also know that one cigarette will not. At some stage, they may be influenced by a girlfriend or boyfriend, school friend or work colleague. You may think that all they need to do is try one, which will taste horrible, and convince them they could never become hooked. I find society's failure to prevent our children from becoming addicted to nicotine and other drugs to be the most disturbing facet of drug addiction. I have given much thought to this problem and have written a book called How to Stop Your Child Smoking, designed specifically to address the problem of how to prevent your children from becoming hooked and how to help them escape if they've already become hooked. It is a fact that the vast majority of youngsters who become dependent on heavier drugs are introduced to the concept of chemical dependency by first falling for the nicotine trap. If you can help them avoid the nicotine trap, you will greatly reduce their risk of becoming dependent on heavier drugs. I beg you not to be complacent in this matter. It is necessary to protect children at the earliest possible age, and if you have a child, I strongly urge you to read that book. Even if you suspect your child might already be hooked on a drug, the book will provide excellent guidance to assist your child to escape.